From WHQR Public Media in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. North Carolina's House District 19, redrawn for the 2020 elections, now includes a southern portion of Brunswick County, in addition to the southernmost part of New Hanover County. It's a district that has, for the last 4.5 terms, been served by Representative Ted Davis Jr. But because of the redrawn maps, Davis is now running for re-election in House District 20. Today, our focus is District 19, which means neither of the two candidates are incumbents. Up first, Marsha Morgan. A former educator and retired Army colonel, Marsha was the youngest of four, raised by a single mother. She earned a bachelor's degree in mathematics from Texas Wesleyan College and went on to Ohio State University for her PhD. After graduation, she served on the graduate faculty at Smith College. 2 years later, she enlisted in the Army. Her military service took her to Korea, Germany, the Netherlands, and the Pentagon. Following a short retirement, Marsha Morgan returned to the Army as a contractor, providing logistical support to soldiers. In her first run at public office, she challenged Representative Ted Davis in 2018 and lost by less than 2.5 points. She joins me now. Marsha Morgan, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel. It's good to be here.
Good to have you here. You came very close, as I just said, to beating a longtime incumbent 2 years ago. This year, you're not running against Ted Davis. You're also competing in a district that includes more than a quarter of Brunswick County, a very red county, and slightly less than a quarter of New Hanover County's population, a rather purple county. How is this changing the game for you from 2 years ago?
It is certainly a little bit more of a challenge, primarily in terms, I'll say, of the distance and the difficulty with covering the entire district. Just for visual context, the Cape Fear River runs right through the middle of it, and there are no bridges down here that make it convenient. So it involves a bit of a commitment, but a drive up to Wilmington to cross the Cape Fear Bridge and back down. But it, other than that, I think my message is still the same. I've been pretty consistent throughout my campaign of trying to explain my position to all people, and that I am committed to serving everyone within the district, whether you vote for me or not. But the difficulty has been, because of COVID, not being able to go over and physically introduce myself to a new potential constituency.
What have you learned about Brunswick County since you've started campaigning this time around? And what specific representation do you think you can offer Brunswick County residents?
It is the Brunswick County portion is a little bit more rural than the New Hanover County portion, but both of them are pretty much bordered by either the Cape Fear River or the ocean. So water and environment are similar issues along the way. And that's obviously always been one of my concerns, along with education. And certainly the folks in Brunswick County and New Hanover County share the same concern for their children and for a quality education.
When you say those are big topics, water and the environment. So let's talk about the environment. Should climate change be part of a state legislator's consideration? And if so, how do you plan for that?
That's a tough one. I think that climate change needs to be involved probably in everything, starting at the federal level and primarily at the federal level. That at the state level, we're a little bit more restricted without that higher level support. But there are still things that we can do in terms of supporting alternate energy forms, of soliciting businesses that don't pollute the economy, that don't add to the environmental issues. We can promote electric vehicles there are some things that can be done at the state level, but it's not as great as it could be as at the federal level.
When you're talking about soliciting companies that are cleaner, I think that's what you're saying. Are you talking
Yes.
about creating incentives for them to come to North Carolina, or what does that look like?
I think I would probably rather talk about it in terms of rebates than incentives, that for companies that come here and spend, invest in the state to a certain level, would have the opportunity to get back some rebate for what they have invested. And I would be in favor of that, yes.
Why do you want this job in the first place? What is it about coming out of retirement, traveling to Raleigh on a regular basis for the next at least couple of years that makes you say, yes, I'm in?
Well, the traveling back and forth to Raleigh, I would say, is not a particularly big issue. Having grown up in Texas, where everything is a bit of a distance away, I'm used to driving long distances. In terms of why I would do it and come out of being retired, and I tell people I was very good at that. I finally found my passion in life was being retired. But I'm continuing to see things happen that are just not acceptable to me. I did spend 25 years in the Army. I retired as a colonel. I had many opportunities, but I feel like I served a country that was, at least in my viewpoint, was cohesive. It was united. And I'm not seeing that now. And I think if you go back to when I first began to run, my message was one of working together, of jointness. The choice of purple from the very beginning was intentional because to me it represented that working together, the blending of red and blue. And that's just always been my commitment. I believe as I watch what's going on around me that I can do better, that I have in my skill set from my military background. I would say each of the promotions and selections for command that I received along the way were based on my ability to accomplish difficult jobs and to work cohesively with others to achieve a common goal. And I believe that that's needed right now.
How has it changed, and why do you think it's changed?
I feel like we became so much more divisive in taking a stand. I'm just not going to let you have that. I'm going to put a stop here. I'm going to put a stop here. And I'll go back. My father was from a farming family. And if you can tolerate that type of an example, if you have a team of horses to plow a field and they're both pulling in opposite directions, you don't get anywhere. You've got to figure out how to move together to make anything move forward. So I just feel like that stake in the ground attitude is not beneficial.
Compromise has become a dirty word in a lot of political bodies at this point. And there are people who are just looking at getting majorities. How would you work, especially if you were elected and if you have to work with a majority from another party, how would you foster the kind of cooperation that you're talking about?
And I would say that I like the term collaboration a little bit more than compromise. Compromise has taken on some negative connotations, unfortunately, because I do believe in politics. You have to have some level of compromise. And yes, that means person A may give up a little bit here and person B a little bit there, but we each come out with something that moves us forward. When you say collaboration, to me, that means working together from the very outset. My perspective on solving a problem or dealing with each of these things is let's start with the things that we agree on and build from there. For example, I think that we all would agree that we want our children to have the opportunity to have a good education. We want the residents of North Carolina to be able to drink clean water. These ought to be certain basics that we agree on. We may disagree on how we accomplish those things, but let's figure out what the best parts of each of our ideas. Like, I may think that I come up with some really great ideas, but I don't believe in any way, shape, or form that I have the perfect answer. And I have to be willing to work with others. And for 2018, I had prepared and signed a pledge of accountability of things that I would do. And that included working with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, reaching out to others that I will base my decisions on research. My PhD is in research methods. And so I do ask questions. I don't accept, if somebody tells me that this is the answer, I'm very inclined to do my own research and figure it out for myself. And the advantage of, I will say, of being retired, I'm fine with where I am. I don't owe anybody anything. So I can do and say whatever is right for me and for the people that I represent.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Today, our focus is North Carolina's House District 19. This newly redrawn district covers southern portions of New Hanover and Brunswick counties. Both candidates are newcomers. Marsha Morgan, with me now, is a candidate for House District 19. Your opponent has identified growth as the largest issue facing District 19. What does that mean from a state legislator's point of view, and how would you deal with that?
One of the issues is, I'll say in the New Hanover County side, is the density of population, the lack of open land to grow into is going to be a severe problem. The transportation issues that occur as a result, the overload of the school system, of the healthcare system. The same is true in Brunswick County, although not as much as availability of land, but the other issues are still there. So I think that the state legislature is going to have to look at how can we help improve the infrastructure in the local counties that will help with this.
One of the biggest issues facing constituents around the Cape Fear region, specifically in District 19, is water quality. 3 years after the discovery of toxic, unregulated compounds in the drinking water supply, concentrations may be less. They're still there. What could you contribute to a solution in the state legislature?
I think there are a couple of things that we need to look at. Yes, the consent agreement is a good step toward stopping the continued pollution, but we need to make sure that our DEQ is, the funding is restored, the positions that were cut are restored, so that we have an agency that has the manpower and the ability to do the inspections, not just Chemours, it's any company that is polluting our environment needs to be regulated. We need to make sure that we have regulations in place that are enforced and that are strong enough to get the attention of the corporation that is doing the polluting. That includes that not only is Chemours or anyone else responsible for stopping, they are responsible for cleaning up their mess and not passing it on to taxpayers. So these are things that I think the state legislature can do.
Film and TV production are ramping up in North Carolina and in the Cape Fear region. But, I was even reluctant to ask this question of anybody because it's such a gimme for candidates, especially from the Cape Fear region. Everyone wants more film and TV production. I don't think there's any disagreement there. And everyone says they'll do what they can to beef up the existing incentive to foster more of it. What can you tell us about your position on this, or what can you tell us about this issue that we haven't heard before?
I think that people in general are not aware of just how much benefit the area gains from the film industry. The number of dollars that get reinvested into the community in terms of the workers in the film business who are buying homes, who are going out to dinner, who are spreading the wealth. I know that last time around there were some negative comments about, well, we just don't need to pay those movie stars that much money. And that's not who's getting the money. There's a huge workforce that's behind the scenes. It's your cameraman, your grip, your any number of things that will contribute to the economy as a whole, and that we need to be aware of just what it does bring, and that it brings an added robustness to our economy, that so that we're not so totally reliant upon the hospitality industry. We need to encourage any kind of a business that gives us a variety of income.
Does this mean that you would work to beef up the grant fund that exists now? Would you push to return to the rebate model that existed several years ago? How would you approach that in the legislature?
I think that either of those are a good solution. But I think that the rebate program doesn't have an upper limit, and that I would prefer that. If that is not an option, then I would go with the grant program, but raise the limits so that again, that there is more opportunity to bring that back to this area.
Governor Roy Cooper has of late pointed repeatedly to North Carolina's failure to expand Medicaid. And he's pointed out that several conservative Republican states have adopted the plan, including deeply red Missouri. There are only about a dozen states at this point that have not expanded the program under the terms of the Affordable Care Act. What is the case for doing that in North Carolina? And if you are elected, how would you address that issue?
I absolutely support the expansion. I think that our residents here deserve affordable health care. We have 600,000 residents of North Carolina who are not covered that would be. It doesn't add a lot of income to our major hospitals, but it would help fund and keep afloat our rural hospitals. The expansion would bring, and I've seen different numbers, from 37,000 to 40,000 good paying jobs to North Carolina. That's always a benefit. The healthcare aspect, I think, is a greater one. It would provide a number of low-income families the opportunity to have healthcare at a basic level. And that would keep individuals from being putting off getting care, going to an emergency room for something that ought to be a local visit. And that benefits, you know, obviously, going to an emergency room is much more expensive. The taxpayers pick that up. So it is in all of our best interest to encourage increased health care for the community as a whole.
In at least the last couple of election years for the state legislature, the Republican majority has claimed that they've raised teacher pay. The Democratic majority has said, no, they haven't done nearly enough. What would you like to see in terms of raises for teachers? And is the fact that teacher pay has gone up in the last several terms an accurate characterization? Why or why not?
I would like to see the state of North Carolina show the proper respect to the professionalism of our teachers by paying them in accordance with what they are actually doing. That involves, I think North Carolina is in the top 10 wealthiest states in the nation, yet we are paying our teachers in the bottom. And to me, that doesn't make sense. We have to invest in our teacher pay, our per pupil spending, in our infrastructure of the schools. And we ought to at least be able to bring that up to the national average. The Republicans are saying that they have offered raises, but if you account for inflation, teacher pay has dropped. So, excuse me, we need to do more. We absolutely have to do more. And the term I like to use, as I said at the beginning, is show respect for the professionals that the teachers are.
There are some members of North Carolina's Southeastern state delegation that have been vocal about their opposition to the sale of New Hanover Regional Medical Center to Novant. Attorney General Josh Stein's office has pledged to look at the deal. What do you think about the hospital sale and the deal as proposed right now?
My concern all along has been, and I've told people, because I have benefited from the excellent surgical care at the hospital, in my heart, I want it to stay local. But logically, I don't feel like I have the information I need to make a good decision. My concern has been that it has not been transparent from the outset, that it could have been handled better, that there are still pieces of information that are unknown. I understand that there's a lawsuit filed yesterday or today to release some of the information and to stop the sale until this information can be released. There are concerns about how, one of the big concerns is obviously about how the fund would be managed and whether it would be open or whether it would be a closed door session. So I don't think there is enough information available to make a concrete decision. Yes, I'm okay with selling it. No, I'm not. I'm not opposed to it. But we need to know more.
You have posted about single issue voting. And I just want to hear from you about why you think that's not the greatest idea and why that happens. And then I also want to hear from you about your religious affiliation and beliefs, because you also in that post invoked the name of Jesus. So start with single issue voting. What's the problem there?
There are, in calling and talking with different constituents, trying to introduce myself to voters, one thing that has come up is that there are people who are voting strictly on the position of abortion. My position on abortion is that that is a personal issue that women should be allowed to make in conjunction with their family, with their doctor, and with their own religion. It's not my business to tell them what to do. That is a healthcare and a personal issue. When I say I'm concerned when people select a single issue like that, and I think I went on in that post to say that Jesus talked about feeding the hungry, taking care of others, that there are many other issues that we should be looking at. And if abortion rights is an issue to you, then by all means, yes. But take a look at the larger picture of what, in my mind, Christianity means. And so I believe that that means we need to provide, as I said earlier, health care to those who can't afford it. We need to look at taking care of the homeless. We need to look at a number of things that we're kind of closing an eye on right now. So to me, it's look at the big picture of all the things that a person stands for before you decide strictly on one issue. And your second question, did you want to elaborate on?
Well, just what is your religious affiliation, and you mentioned being a Christian. Do you consider yourself a Christian, and what does that mean to you?
I do. One of the things that our mother insisted on when we were growing up was that we would be in church, that we would be good people, and that we needed to look out for others. Obviously, if you go back to my background, I grew up in the Methodist church. I went to a Methodist college. When I went into the military, I had the opportunity to experience a number of different religions. I guess I should go back for a moment. I have, throughout my life, been influenced, I will call it divine intervention. I knew all along I was going to be a teacher. I am a teacher at heart. That door closed to me, and I did not understand why. And I have talked fairly openly about a 2x4 moment with God, where I wasn't paying attention, that I was supposed to do something else, and God slapped me up the side of the head with a 2x4, redirected me, and I wound up going into the military. It was certainly a right turn, 180 degree turn, I don't know. But there have been a couple of times in my life where I felt like I was guided by that. So yes, I do regard myself as a Christian, and that directs my life decisions.
And that is our time. You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Marsha Morgan, candidate for North Carolina House District 19. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity, Rachel.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. Listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews, I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Today, our focus is North Carolina's House District 19. This newly redrawn district now includes the southern portions of both Brunswick and New Hanover counties. Representative Ted Davis Jr. has held the seat for 4.5 terms, but he's now running to represent District 20. So in 19, neither of the two candidates are incumbents. Charlie Miller is chief deputy in the Brunswick County Sheriff's Office. He's worked with the Sheriff's Office for 32 years, and he lives in Southport, a small riverside city in Brunswick County. Charlie Miller is also a member of Brunswick County's Board of Education, which means if he were to win this election, he would have to resign his seat on the school board. He joins me now. Charlie Miller, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel. Good morning.
Good morning. Tell us first why, especially since this is kind of midterm for you on the Board of Education, why you want this state house job and why you think you're a better candidate.
Well, I've been thinking about what I'm going to do in my next life. I've been on the school board now for 4 terms, which means at the end of this term would be 16 years. And I had already planned not to run again for the school board after this term. So when the lines were redrawn and there is a new district created, I decided now was a good time as any to put my name in for it.
Now, you have identified growth as the largest issue facing District 19. What does that mean to you? And what does it mean from a state legislator's point of view?
Well, I mean, it means roads, it means infrastructure. There's just so many, many factors that you have to consider. And as long as growth is managed correctly, it's good. And I think our county here in Brunswick, and as well as New Hanover, has done the best they could do to manage that. But on the state side of it, we, you know, our roads are heavily traveled. I know you're in Wilmington and I'm in Brunswick today, but you know, it takes a long time to get to Wilmington from Brunswick, or even maneuver around Wilmington with the roadways like they are. So, you know, that's a very important factor in both counties.
How does the 32 years that you've spent in law enforcement, how do you think that informs what you would do if you wound up in the state house?
Well, you know, 32 years in law enforcement, I mean, I have seen a lot of good things. I've seen a lot of bad things. I was having a case review with our detective command staff this morning. And, you know, we were just talking about the things that we've had to experience over the years. And, you know, it's all about helping people. And a lot of it is just listening to people. You know, everybody's problem is the most important thing to them at that time, no matter how small it is. And, it's about listening and trying to help people. And, you know, my parents taught me that at a very early age. You know, I volunteered with Southport Fire Department starting at the age of 18. And I just knew that I always wanted to be in law enforcement. So straight out of high school, I went to Cape Fear Community College and went through BLET. I worked my way through the ranks up till 2001. And I was chief deputy under a former sheriff, and I left in 2001 and actually got a job at Progress Energy, which is now Duke Energy, as a security specialist. And I stayed there for a few years, and when Sheriff Ingram came or got appointed as sheriff here in 2008. I came back as his chief deputy, but I've remained sworn as a sworn officer for 33 years now. So, you know, public service has been my whole life, and I just enjoy it and enjoy meeting people and helping people.
The public conversation around law enforcement has changed a lot just in 2020. And, you know, we hear people regularly talking about police brutality and about how the culture of policing needs to change. How do you see that conversation? And are there elements of it that you think people don't really understand from a law enforcement point of view?
Well, you know, first and foremost, I don't agree with everything that's happened in law enforcement. I don't think that we should all be judged by the mistakes of a few. And, you know, here in Brunswick County, we have a great relationship with our community. We keep an open dialogue. Our sheriff calls for community meetings with community leaders of, you know, all religions, black, white, it doesn't matter. And we have open dialogue here. And I think that's important. I think communication between your law enforcement and your communities should be your top priority. But as far as things that are happening across the country, I don't agree with the rioting, the burning of buildings. You know, I was in Wilmington assisting with our other deputies. We had quite a few in Wilmington from Brunswick County assisting them when those protests turned violent to some extent. And, you know, there was a lot of peaceful protesters there, and a lot of peaceful protesters did not participate in those throwing rocks. You know, there was twice I dodged two bricks that night. You know, they were throwing bricks, they were throwing water bottles, they were throwing fireworks at us. But what I'm getting at is not everybody that was protesting on City Hall steps became that way. I support peaceful protest, but when agitators infiltrate the peaceful and start the rhetoric, we have to handle it, and we have to be equipped to handle it. So, you know, it's a sad day that law enforcement is under the scrutiny that we're under, because not all of us are bad. Right. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
So how would you move that conversation forward? I mean, you said that you support people's right to protest, just not violently.
Absolutely.
And not in a destructive way. What is it that could, is there any reform at all that would be necessary in law enforcement, or do you see it as the problematic instances that we've seen in the news are really the result of bad apples and not a bad system?
We're already not trained to do the things that you've seen. And I know that some things that have been done was done wrong or incorrectly across the country. So, you know, the training that we receive is we get a lot of training, and we're not trained to let things happen like have happened across the country. So, you know, as far as moving the conversation forward, like I said, open dialogue with your communities. You know, we bounce ideas off of other law enforcement agencies, you know, on our training, on what we can do to improve. I mean, there's a great network amongst our agencies. You know, I work very close with New Hanover Sheriff's Office and Chief Deputy Sarbis there. Me and him talk almost weekly, if not daily sometimes. And we're bouncing ideas off of each other on how to create policy and improve things. But, you know, the main thing is, you know, we've heard a lot of negative about all the equipment we have, and we look like military. You know, until you're on a street and you're having things thrown at you, that's why we have to have that equipment, to protect our officers. And that's our most important thing. You know, me and Sheriff Ingram were right there with our guys every step of the way that night, and we were there to make sure that they were protected. And, you know, it's a sad day that we have to have those kind of things to combat what we were having to go against.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Today, our focus is North Carolina's House District 19. This newly redrawn district covers southern portions of New Hanover and Brunswick counties. Charlie Miller, with me now, is a candidate for House District 19. You said, Charlie Miller, in a January interview with WECT that you would support exploratory drilling for oil and gas. That's something that we hear is unlikely to happen at this point because Governor Roy Cooper had asked the Trump administration to include the Mid-Atlantic in a moratorium on drilling. And we've heard recently that we're awaiting confirmation that President Trump will extend that offshore drilling moratorium to North Carolina's waters. And Senator Tom Tillis has also asked, and he said he was informed that North Carolina will be included in that moratorium, withdrawing new leasing for offshore oil and gas developments for the next 12 years. So given those developments, where do you stand on this issue now?
I would support the moratorium for sure. You know, when I was asked the question, I was very new to the arena. I'll be honest with you, I did not know a whole lot about the offshore drilling. I'm being totally honest with you. You know, I was born and raised in Southport. I know how valuable our waters are. I love to fish. I'm an inshore fisherman. But the waters that you're talking about are federal waters, and I don't know how much we can control that. You know, if the federal government wants to do something, chances are they'll do it. But, you know, as far as drilling, no, I would not support the drilling offshore. But when I was asked the question, I thought that exploratory, you know, what is out there? But no, I would support the moratorium for sure.
What have you learned about New Hanover County since you've started campaigning? And what specific representation do you think you could offer New Hanover County constituents?
Well, I've learned a lot that in New Hanover. There are some great people in New Hanover County. I've spent a lot of time on Curry Beach, Carolina Beach, and the shipyard road area. The traffic is horrendous. Again, I think I mentioned that earlier. Great day. I was so glad when the Fort Fisher Ferry opened back up because before the ferry, when it was closed, it was taking me about an hour and a half to drive from my house to Curry Beach. So, glad that was open, and I was on it this past Saturday. But you know, the main thing is getting our state safely back open. I've heard a lot in New Hanover and in Brunswick. Our small businesses are suffering, and we've got to get North Carolina safely reopened. And that's probably the biggest issue I've been hearing. You know, our schools need to be reopened, in which Brunswick County voted yesterday to bring our K-5 back under the governor's new order. I was so glad that he allowed that. You know, really just getting North Carolina safely reopened. And, you know, North Carolina was built on the back of small businesses, and we need to do everything we can to get them some help. And I think the governor actually released something yesterday, I believe, to help small businesses. So I was glad to see that as well.
So there are critics of the governor's executive orders who say that it's been hysteria in North Carolina, some of the restrictions that he's implemented to stop the spread of COVID-19. Although the numbers seem to show that North Carolina is doing well in terms of COVID and is not seeing the resurgence that a lot of other southern states are actually seeing. Critics, though, of those restrictions are saying it's a Democratic issue designed to slow the economy and discredit the president. Is there a balance to strike there? Do you think we just need to reopen and that it really is kind of hysteria that drove those restrictions or drove the shutdown?
I do think that we need to reopen. I do know there's been a lot of confusion and having to get clarification on the governor's orders. But I'm about choice. We're all adults. If we allow our businesses and our schools to reopen, you know, I said all along during the school board meetings, I felt like we needed to provide our parents a choice, whether they keep their kids at home or send them back to school for face-to-face instruction. It's not my job as a school board member to tell you how to educate your child, but it is my job to give you a choice. And also as a businesses as well, they should be allowed to reopen. And if you want to go to a business, then you should be allowed to go. I do know the virus is real. And again, I'm choice. If you feel like you need to wear a mask, you need to wear a mask, but that's your choice.
At this point, there are only about a dozen states who have not expanded Medicaid under the terms of the Affordable Care Act. Even deeply red Missouri recently voted to expand that. Is there a case for expanding Medicaid here? And if you were elected, how would you vote on that issue?
I would not vote to expand it at this time. You know, the state was in a, I think it's $2 billion deficit several years ago. And when the Republicans took control of the House, now we have a good savings. I would look at it and see what needs to be done to see if it needs to be revamped. But I definitely would not vote to expand it at this time.
One of the bigger issues facing constituents in District 19 is water quality. Gen X was discovered in the water supply 3 years ago, and then we started to learn slowly that there were other toxic, unregulated compounds in the drinking water supply that couldn't be removed by typical water purification methods. What do you think needs to happen, if anything, in the state legislature on this water quality issue?
Well, you know, it's kind of, it's not a funny issue, but somebody tried to blame me not long ago for not doing anything about the water quality. Well, I'm not in the state house yet, and I don't know how the chief deputy in Brunswick County can arrest a company for water quality, but I was accused of that. But anyhow, with that said,
do you mean you were expected to march into Camorra's and take people out in handcuffs?
That's kind of the way I took it, by the way the lady was accusing me of not doing anything about water quality. But anyhow, I do believe that companies should be held accountable for our water. And I hope that the state, and if I'm there, I would definitely hold their feet to the fire on that. Because like I said earlier, you know, I grew up on the Cape Fear River, and that is so important to our area, not just for the fishing, but the drinking water, but just for so many things. I mean, it's a vital part of our area, both Brunswick and New Hanover.
So there's holding companies accountable who have already polluted. Do you think that there are more regulations that need to be put in place, or does the Department of Environmental Quality need to be given more teeth, more funding to enforce the regulations that exist? What do you think needs to happen on that front?
Well, I think they need more authority to do the job. And you know, until I get there and see exactly what has been done and hadn't been done, it's, you know, it's kind of an unfair question until I know all the things that have been done and hadn't been done. So I definitely want the Department of Environmental Quality to do their job, and I want them to have the teeth to do their job. Mm-hmm.
Now,
and that's in any job. That's in any job, Rachel. I mean, I deal with all kinds of illegal dumping and different things around here all the time. And you know, everybody has to have the teeth to do the job and enforce the law. So I'm definitely for that.
So you would support funding DEQ in a more robust way?
If that's what's needed. If that's what's needed.
You mentioned the environment. What are some of the other environmental issues that you think really deserve attention from the state legislature?
Well, I mean, just pollution in general. You know, I just mentioned illegal dumping. You know, we have here in Brunswick, back several years ago, before all the development on 133, we would have dump trucks coming and dumping shingles and just construction material. And then again, what I'm getting at is, the departments need the teeth to enforce the law and hold people accountable. So, you know, just general pollution and dumping, you know, I'm real big on that. You know, I love to hunt. So woods and open space is very important to me. So I like to keep it clean. and like to see, you know, for families to enjoy. You know, we have walking trails here in the county, and it's really important to me to have the space to do those kinds of things and keeping it clean and nice for everybody.
Just going back to, you know, you've brought up the issue of traffic and roadways and infrastructure, and acknowledge the fact that this is one of the fastest growing parts of the state, maybe the fastest growing part of the state at this point. DOT, the Department of Transportation, is facing a cash crunch, and they've had to essentially stop projects because there's no funding for them at this point, projects that haven't as yet been funded. What do you think needs to happen with the Department of Transportation? And are you concerned at all that this area is going to explode without the assistance of the DOT?
Well, my hometown has exploded, and you know, we had a project, and I think it's been put on the on hold as well, of the four laning from Southport all the way to Midway Road, which is needed so bad, and it's actually needed all the way to 17 at Supply, not just for the everyday traffic, but for evacuation purposes. You know, during storms and stuff, it just makes it a lot easier on us getting people off our beaches and out of town to safer areas. So I do hear that DOT is in bad shape, and you know, you can tell that by the roads not being mowed, something as simple as that. You know, I was looking yesterday at a meeting, and I thought, well, maybe I need to bring my weed eater out here myself and fix this, because it looks really bad at this particular intersection. So, you know, they do have some issues, and I've been talking with other representatives about it, Representative Eiler, who represents 17, and looking forward to getting in there and digging into the issues to see what we can do to get it fixed.
Film and TV production are ramping up in North Carolina and in the Cape Fear region. Is there anything to do in terms of beefing up the film incentive? Is that an industry that you would encourage? And if so, what would you do to help foster that kind of activity?
Well, you know, I been here since 1987 at the Sheriff's Office. So I have worked closely with the Griffin brothers, Johnny and his brother. And you know, I see how important and the film industry is. You know, they have filmed, gracious, probably 30, 40 different movies here in Southport. And I think the latest one, last one was Safe Haven. But it brings a lot of jobs to our area, and I see the impact financially that it brings. And so I definitely support the film industry. I always have. And, you know, I hated to see when they left and went, I think, to Georgia. So I'd love to see it back in here. And, you know, I saw on the news the other day where they were starting to film one in Wilmington. So I told my wife, I said, you know, that's pretty exciting to see movies starting to come back to this area. So I would definitely support the film industry and incentives to get them back here.
So there's a grant fund now, and that grant fund has been growing over the years since it was created. Would you ever support going back to the tax rebate structure, or do you think this is just about keeping that grant fund robust?
I am not familiar with what you're talking about, to be honest with you. I'm going to be totally honest that I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. In North Carolina's 9th Congressional District, there was a pretty serious case of absentee ballot fraud in the 2018 election. It upended that election. Is there still a concern about ballot fraud, especially with this year's probably, you know, hugely increased absentee ballot situation because of COVID-19?
I'm not concerned about the absentee ballots. I know how hard our folks here in Brunswick County works at the Board of Elections, and they're going to do things right and make sure that it's right. So I'm really not concerned about the absentee ballots.
Okay. And if you could just let people know one thing about you that you think makes you a better candidate for House District 19 than your opponent, what would that be?
Well, I don't want to get into the point of who's better or who's not better. I mean, I appreciate my opponent's service to the country, and we've had conversations, and we've both agreed to stick to issues, and that's what I'm going to do. But You know, I was born and raised here. I was actually born in Dozier Hospital in Southport. And, you know, when you tell people that now, they look at you like you're crazy because there's not many of us left around. But, you know, I am from this area, so I know the people. I know the area, and I just love Brunswick and New Hanover County.
And that is this edition of Coastline. Charlie Miller, Republican candidate for North Carolina's House District 19. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thanks also to Democratic candidate Marsha Morgan. One-stop voting begins October 15th. North Carolina voters can request absentee ballots until October 27th, and Election Day is November 3rd. Coastline's producer is Rachel Keith. Technical director is Ken Campbell. Coastline is a production of WHQR Public Media. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. Thank you.